Back in my early high school days, not too long ago, Johnny Cash, my favorite country singer, released an album called A Man in Black. Maybe that helped inspire me. But on the album was a song, The Preacher Said, Jesus Said. It was almost like a duet. Johnny would sing like a verse, there'd be a pause, and then Billy Graham, the great evangelist, who I would say had a great impact on my life, would then recite a scripture passage. One that always stuck with me was from the Gospel of St. John, chapter 14, verse 6. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And that verse, due to that song, stayed with me. The more that I've thought about that verse, especially in the light of this year of mercy that Pope Francis has called us to celebrate, I've thought about, how do we really live this? After all, to have someone share the life with Christ means that we have to, not only for ourselves, but for others, bring that person to truth. And the truth is Christ. He perfectly revealed God's truth to us. But how does one communicate truth, especially in this day and age, an age of secularism, relativism, and so on? The key way is by living the way. We have to put that life that we share with our Lord, that truth that we believe in, into action. We have to live the way Jesus wants to, and hopefully then bring others to that truth, that life. Consider then our gospel passage today. Jesus is traveling to the city of Nain. It's about 6 miles southeast of Nazareth, not too far from the Sea of Galilee. He's with a large crowd, according to the gospel, who's been listening to him. He comes to the city gate. He's stopped by this funeral procession. Notice, our Lord doesn't just let the funeral procession pass by. He doesn't just talk to his disciples until it does. He doesn't stand there on his cell phone texting, if he had a cell phone, as the funeral procession came by. Instead, he's moved with pity, according to the gospel. A better translation would be, he's moved with compassion. He sees that this is the only son of a widowed mother. Keep in mind, in those days, the children were called upon to care for their elderly parents. When the father died, especially, the oldest son would take the mom into his home. If he died, the next son would do the same. So this woman is left with nothing. Her only son has died. She could be well reduced to a future of poverty. So our Lord is moved with great compassion. This reveals a great lesson about our Lord. For he is true God who became true man. In his human nature, he knows suffering and sorrow. He has already witnessed the death of Saint Joseph, his foster father, whom he loved so much. He probably foresees that in a short time, he'll hang on that cross and look down on his mother, who's a widow, and because of that, he entrusts her to St. John. Jesus had no brothers or sisters to entrust the care of Mary to. And so our Lord has great compassion. He performs a miracle. He brings this man back to life. And the people say, well, a great prophet has arisen in our midst. Sort of like how we heard Elijah, by God's power, raised a boy back to life. They say, God has visited his people because Jesus shows he's doing things that only God can do. But the real miracle here isn't so much this one. Yes, it shows who Jesus is. But this boy and his mom and each one of us here eventually will die in this world. This points to the greatest miracle of compassion, and that is when our Lord does go to the cross. On that cross, he takes on our burden of sin. Only he, true God who became true man, could do that and offer a sacrifice of forgiveness that transcends time. sins of the past, sins at his time, our sins. He also shows us then that suffering that we all face in this life can also be redemptive if we unite it with him, if we share in his suffering. That's what compassion really means. Cum patior in Latin, with, to suffer with someone else. So we unite our suffering with him, and we can do that to atone for our sins, the sins of others, the poor souls in purgatory, some other special need. Our Lord too died, but he rose to give us everlasting life. So we do not fear death. Life isn't just about this world. We hope for everlasting life in heaven. So we follow Christ, who truly is the way, the truth, and the life. Remember what Jesus said when he raised Lazarus back to life. He said to Saint Martha, who was sorrowing, "I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me, though he should die, will have everlasting life, and I will raise him up on the last day." So, my brothers and sisters, our Lord has shown us the great compassion of Almighty God. We're called, then, to live that way. That's the way. People have to see us moved by such compassion for others. One way is through spiritual activity. For instance, in our prayers. Each day, I encourage you, besides praying, but in compassion, to pray for those that you know who are suffering. It may be someone in your own family, could be a friend, or could be someone like the Christians who are facing such persecution right now in places like Syria or Iraq. It may be for really the suffering of our country, where values of the sanctity of life, the sanctity of marriage, the sanctity of the family seem to have been forgotten and even challenged in many grievous ways. But we pray. I would encourage you as parents, especially, that when you're with your children, pray with them. If it's mealtime, say grace before meals, but maybe add an extra intention. Like, Lord, we remember the persecuted Christians. We remember the unborn. Help them. This is a way we can show compassion in that spiritual sense. It may also be something more overt. For instance, if someone in your neighborhood loses someone to death, of course you may want to offer a meal or something of that nature, but send a Mass card. Tell them that you'll be praying not only for them, but for the repose of the soul of that person. I have sent Mass cards to people who are not even Christian, and they've been very appreciative because they know great graces will come. So this is a way we can show. Even there can be that spontaneous spirituality. A father of one of our little ones in the grade school came up to me a few months ago and said that they were driving down Cascades Parkway, and at the fire station, all of a sudden the sirens went on, the ambulance came forth, the fire truck, and so on. And his little boy in second grade said, "Daddy, we ought to say a prayer for those people." Well, that is real spiritual compassion. You and I need to keep our eyes open spiritually to show our suffering with others. But then there's also those other active ways that we do this. As your pastor, I've always been very proud of the response that we've had for our special collections, perhaps for the persecuted Christians, or for Birthright, or it's the Lenten Cross. We have our poor box collections. This weekend, we have our food drive. These are all ways that we show the love of our Lord through our actions. Yes, people might not see us in particular doing this, but in a way, they know who does it. I think of people who might go to Catholic Charities in Leesburg, to the food pantry there. They're looking for food. They don't know who gave the food in particular, but they know someone cares. They know that a church cares, and that might just inspire a person to say, well, if this is the way they act with such compassion For me, who they do not know, maybe that's the truth that I want to live by. So these are all ways. But then we can take it to other ways too. Think of how it can have a profound impact on someone. The Little Sisters of the Poor, as we know in Richmond, take care of the elderly poor of all faiths, even people who are not Christian. They don't try to convert them. But Sister Ophelia said that every year they have someone who wants to convert. Maybe a person who's in his or her 80s, 90s, who even wants to be baptized. Why? Because the Little Sisters show such compassion to those people. I was reading a story the other day of the activity of the church helping the refugees in Iraq and Syria, mainly in refugee camps in Jordan right now. And here the church does take care of the Christians who have fled their homes, but even the Muslims too. Many have been driven out because of ISIS. And this one man converted from being a Muslim to being a Christian. He didn't give his name for fear of retaliation against himself and his family, but he said, "I saw how ISIS chanted the Quran as they killed the innocent and abused women. I saw Christians die for their faith and yet forgive the murderers. I saw Christians help everyone, even me, without asking what my religion was or asking me to convert. So I asked to read the Gospel of Jesus, and I read, 'God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, not to condemn, but to give everlasting life. This is the God I believe in. Now I am a Christian.'" My brothers and sisters, the compassion shown through us touches people's lives to come to truth, to come to share their life with Christ. And so, given these examples, we have to also make sure we teach our children. So you parents, again, have your children help you collect the food for the food drive or the clothes for the clothing drive. Encourage your children to share their allowance or part of their wages for the poor box or for some other charity. Have your children volunteer, whether here at church or maybe to help someone in the neighborhood. We need to help teach our children to keep their eyes open, to have compassion, not to let the opportunities pass by. We live in a world with great technology, which can be so good, but it can also make us blind, isolated, very insular. Life can pass us by, and we don't even see it. For instance, I was in Macy's about a month ago, and this group of kids, teenagers, three of them, they're on their cell phones texting. So they're all looking down, and they're walking towards me. And I thought, well, this is going to be interesting. So my mischievous self said, "Don't move." So they approach me, and eventually they meet the man in black, face to face. And the kid looked up. I wish I had a picture of his face. And he said, "Oh, sorry," and went on. But isn't that like our world? We don't see. Instead, it's about us. Maybe this happens in your own home. Think about your own spouse or your kids. Does this happen? Or are you moved with that heart of compassion that allows you to share your life with them and make sure you're sharing in their lives, that you're sharing especially in their suffering? So my brothers and sisters, this June we always commemorate to the Sacred Heart of Jesus. Let us pray that our heart may be like his, a heart that is moved by compassion, a heart then that can lead others to the truth, so that all of us can grow in the life of Christ and see that life fulfilled in heaven. We always pray, "Jesus, meek and humble of heart, make my heart like unto thine." May God bless you.